I'd like to invite you to turn with me to our scripture text this morning, which is taken again from Luke chapter 1, first chapter of Luke, the Christmas gospel. I'll be reading from verses 46 through 55. It's on page number 1589 in your pew Bibles, if you'd like to turn to it there. But listen as I read Mary's song. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." This morning, I want to think about the theme, "Where's the baby?" Where's the baby? People in their homes often display collections of all kinds of things, especially at Christmas time. I've known people who have had collections of snow villages, snow persons, to be politically correct nowadays, Santas, angels, nutcrackers. One thing we collect in the Darby family is nativity scenes, like the one up here on the altar, or the one that I want to call your attention to in our library up on the mantle of the fireplace. Annette Knopka has brought one in from one of her very good friends who used to be a part of our church, a handmade ceramic nativity set. And I think her name was Carol Decker, is that correct, who handmade that. Sometimes stop in there and check that out. It's beautiful. Except for one ear of the donkey, it's perfect. Check it out. But anyhow, last week we got out our Christmas tree and set that up and decorated it. The outside lights and decorations, Advent wreaths, candles, and yes, the nativity set. My favorite nativity is one that was handmade by a friend of the Darby family. In fact, my old Weeblow Scout leader, he made this scene with the stable and so forth. And I brought out and unwrapped in tissue paper two shepherds, three sheep, a cow, a donkey, two angels, three wise guys, as I like to call them, bearing gifts. One actually, over the years, had lost his head. I'm not sure where that landed. But Joseph and Mary. But something's missing. Lost? No. Tucked in a corner of the box, wrapped in tissue paper swaddling clothes, was the baby Jesus in his manger. The main feature, the central focus, the Messiah in the manger. As I thought about the implications of the baby, Jesus, being missing, I was reminded of a series of sermons I was lent this year, a series of cassette tapes. Anybody remember cassette tapes? There you go. They came after 8-track tapes. Anyhow, I borrowed a car from the Properts this last month because my car failed inspection. I was waiting for it to get fixed. And so I was driving around. It had a cassette deck in the car. So it set up a great opportunity to listen to some of my old cassette series of teachings while I was driving back, for example, back and forth from upstate New Jersey to see Bev and so forth. And I listened to a series of messages by John MacArthur, teacher and preacher, great teacher. And that prompted me to pull out this book, God With Us, The Miracle of Christmas, by John MacArthur. I want to read a page of this that really struck me and fits in with our theme today. The secularizing trends of today's Christmas celebrations are not hard to document. Visit your local shopping mall during the week before Christmas, and you'll witness graphic evidence of how Christmas is rapidly slipping away from us as believers. Notice how stores advertise their merchandise. Notice what they advertise. Listen to the shoppers talk. Stop by a card store and look at the greeting cards. Try to imagine that you were someone who never heard of Christ or Christmas. What message would you get from what you see? More importantly, what does our Lord think of all this? The question continually weighs on me. Can we rationalize all this self-indulgent excess by calling it a celebration of his birth, whose cradle was only an animal's feeding trough? I read a haunting newspaper story several years ago about a wealthy Boston family who had a christening party for their new baby. They invited all their friends and relatives to their magnificent home to celebrate the birth of their precious infant child. A half an hour into the party, when it was time to bring the baby out for everyone to see, the mother made a tragic discovery. The large bed where she had left the baby asleep was piled high with coats of the guests. The baby was lying dead underneath the mound of coats, suffocated by the carelessly discarded wraps. That pathetic scene perfectly illustrates what the world has done to Christmas. Lost is the realization that Christmas is, first of all, the celebration of a baby, the birth of our Savior. He is all but forgotten, cruelly and thoughtlessly smothered in the haste and commotion. Please understand, I'm not suggesting that our Christmas celebrations should be solemn, somber, grim, religious observances utterly devoid of cheer. On the contrary, Christmas should be a time of real joy, gladness, and wonder, as opposed to a manufactured sentiment and wild revelry that characterizes the way the world observes Christmas. Where's the baby? This Advent season, I've been focusing on the theme, recapturing the wonder of the birth of Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about how we need to slow down and refresh this wonder of Christmas. This week I want to talk about the necessity of keeping Christ as the center of our celebrations, the centerpiece, if you will. My thesis this morning is recapturing the wonder of Christmas. To do that, it's absolutely necessary to keep Christ at the heart of that celebration. Keep Christ in Christmas. It's a great theme. I'm still wearing the wristband to remind myself and to remind others I greet. Keep Christ in Christmas. But it's not just enough to keep him in Christmas, we need to keep him in the center of the celebration. Not at the peripheries, not as an afterthought, second thought, but right in the heart of our hearts. Jesus, the reason for the season. Yes, let us reestablish him as the heart of the celebration as we think about where's the baby. keeping a Christ-centered focus can be taken. You can take a tip from Mary here in our passage. She sings what we have come to call it the Magnificat, taken from the first word in the Latin Vulgate translation of this passage, then the Authorized Version, the King James Version. My soul magnifies the Lord. Magnifying the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Mary could have easily been centered and focused on herself. My goodness, what am I to do with this news? It's really going to change everything, isn't it? My plans, my future, Mary could have said. What will people say here in Nazareth? What will Joseph think? She could have thought. Instead, she sings, magnify the Lord. Glorify the Lord. Praise God. When you magnify something, you literally make it greater or bigger. As you think about a magnifying glass, enlarging something, how do you enlarge God? He is greater and as great as can be. You can't really magnify God, but you can magnify or enlarge, exalt, glorify the Lord in your focus, in your personal experience. There's the challenge as we move into this Christmas season. What are we making bigger? What are we enlarging? Ourselves, our stuff, or our Savior? It's easy, especially at Christmas, to get focused and wrapped up in self and stuff, isn't it? What do you want for Christmas? We have been hearing since we were a little child. All the stuff I'm going to get at Christmas. Oh man, it's very exciting. Focusing on self, what do I need to do to get ready for that day? Sunday morning, it's sometimes hard to listen to a sermon because we're all distracted by all the things that go on. You notice that it's more easily to become angry, annoyed, and irritated during these holidays. Other people are invading my space, encroaching on my territory, intruding on my plans, my schedule, my agenda, stepping on my toes, right? This week's prayer, I want to invite you, not just this week, but for the rest of the season. There's a little prayer that I have, and I hope it's printed there in your sermon notes, the bottom of the page. A Christ-centering prayer. If you have the green bulletin insert, you have it, or if you're looking at the screen. Lord, I really want to glorify you this season. As your servant, help me to see what you want from me. There's the heart of Mary's heart. Let's pray that prayer together as we think about centering on Christ. Let's read this together. Lord, I really want to glorify you this season. As your servant, help me to see what you want from me. You may want to tack this prayer up on your refrigerator every time you come in to get something out of the refrigerator. Pray this prayer, or up on your bathroom mirror where you see it often. Pray this prayer to get refocused, recentered on Christ. Let Mary's song be the prayer of your heart. Find the baby and replace him as the centerpiece of your Christmas celebration. As Jesus' cousin John would later say, he must increase and I must decrease. Well, I have some practical suggestions about the practice of centering on Christ. Christ centering. And I would encourage you in application to maybe pick out one or two practical ideas to help refocus, recenter the baby. First of all, you could honor Jesus with a special song from your heart, like Mary, singing a song. Perhaps you might try and write your own Christmas carol. Get creative, or rewrite or paraphrase this passage, the Magnificat. Or you might choose one of your favorite Christmas carols. Last night I was reading, as a part of this, from a book published by InterVarsity Press, Hymns That Live. And I was reading about one of my favorite Christmas carols, Once in Royal David's City. Not as well known as some, but tremendously packed with meaning. We sang it when I was a freshman in college as our Vespers choir sang. And it caught my attention. I love singing that. I love going over that. Or you may pick a contemporary classic Christian song, like Mary, Did You Know by Mark Lowry. Whatever you choose to implant that and listen to that over and over again. In fact, every day, replay that until it captivates your heart and your mind to focus on the baby Jesus. I do that especially listening to our Christmas cantata. This year's cantata is amazing. A season of joy. A celebration, a Celtic Christmas celebration. I often have songs like we just sang, Emmanuel, playing through my mind. There's always a tune in my head. Maybe you're like me. If you stop for just a moment, eventually that song will catch up to you. Oftentimes it's the last song that you or I heard. If I've been in a store, I may have a jingle rambling around in my mind and I have to reprogram it to get Christ-centered. I'll come back and say, wait a minute, I don't want I Saw Mother, Mama Kissing Santa Claus constantly feeding my mind. Well, it's not a bad... But anyhow, Emmanuel, what a great theme. Reprogram your thinking to center on Christ. That's one idea. Honor Jesus with a special song in your heart, in your mind. Secondly, you might identify someone in need to help this season. Ask God to lead you to someone who could use your help in making it through Christmas. There are some people just barely making it, a single parent, a needy family, perhaps a family that can't buy Christmas presents for their kids. You might want to arrange to anonymously give them a gift, financial or wrapping some presents anonymously so that God gets the credit and they think about the real giver at Christmas. Another idea that you might want to do to practice practically centering on Christ this Christmas is give a gift of Christmas pardon. You know how as Christmas approaches, state governors often grant a pardon to certain prisoners as a special act of clemency. Maybe you could best honor the Lord this Christmas by also giving a Christmas pardon or forgiveness to someone you've locked out of your life. Is there somebody that you're holding a grudge against? Someone who needs your forgiveness? Write on a piece of paper that person's expense and what you feel is owed to you. Then write out on the paper, I fill in your name, grant clemency to so-and-so on this date. Begin to live in accordance with this declaration of pardon. Enjoy the new freedom, forgiveness. That's just one example of practicing Christ-centered living. Another is to highlight special occasions for celebrations. Perhaps you want to take the circuit rider, the bulletin insert that has all the announcements, and highlight them in red for Christmas. Give special priority to the dates, events, and occasions that bring Jesus into center focus. Take special advantage of our special Christmas events, services, and traditions here at St. Paul's. For example, this Tuesday, as Carol announced, go caroling to the nursing homes along with our church family. Or Saturday and Sunday evenings, come to the Christmas cantata and band concert. It's an awesome way to focus on Jesus and tune your heart to the season. Or, of course, there's Christmas Eve Day, Christmas Eve candlelight services. Christmas Day, we have one service, 10 o'clock, because we have three scheduled in the evening, 5 o'clock, 7:30, and 11 o'clock. Bring a friend. Bring the family. But center on Jesus through these special opportunities and services. One more thing. One more option. Don't try and do all of these, or you can try and do all of these, but pick one or two of these options, including number 5, serve others with joy. I want to give thanks to all who served at the Christmas store. Thanks to all who cooked dinners for our family throughout this last month and are still bringing dinners. Come, like I said, come caroling, serve others who need a smile. Thanks to all those who serve in the food pantry, the volunteers and donors. Thanks to all who gave the shoeboxes of Operation Christmas Child. Lexington House Christmas party this afternoon, another great opportunity to serve. Deliver poinsettias to shut-ins. Invite and bring a church to friend, to a friend to church. Great opportunities to bring the heart of Christmas, Jesus, into someone else's life. You get the idea. Practice shifting focus to Jesus, the center of the season. Let the song of your heart be the prayer on your lips, like Mary. Lord, I really want to glorify you, to magnify you this season as your servant. Help me to see what you want me to do. Where's the baby? Where's the baby? The bottom line question is, have you invited Jesus into your heart? Is Jesus in your heart? Have you welcomed him? Have you made room for him in your heart, in your life, accepting him as Lord and Savior? That's the heart of Christmas. That's where centering on him begins. The best way to do that is in prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this marvelous time of year in which we celebrate your incredible love for us. Help us, Lord, to lay aside all the distractions and move to the margins of our lives, the things that should be priorities, peripheral priorities. Help us to focus on the main thing, the main event, to center on the baby Jesus. In our love and worship, be exalted, glorified, magnified as with Mary. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.